Welcome, everyone, to Family Talk. It's a ministry of the James Dobson Family Institute, supported by listeners just like you. I'm Dr. James Dobson, and I'm thrilled that you've joined us.
Well, welcome to Family Talk, the broadcast division of the Dr. James Dobson Family Institute. I'm Roger Marsh, and during the next half hour, you're in for a real treat as we'll be turning the spotlight on the brand new Dobson Culture Center and the senior director of the center, Dr. Owen Strand. Now, culture is important for us as Christians to really get our arms around. You know, we don't live in a perfect world, but I'm sure as the culture has moved further and further away from biblical foundations, you can probably think of at least one thing, maybe more than that, that are more commonplace now, that are filled with sin and debauchery, that were almost unheard of only a decade or two ago. Our culture has pulled away from God. The vast majority of Americans no longer believe that the Bible is the standard for living. And that is why it's important for Christians to, first of all, build a strong biblical worldview to better navigate the challenges of today's society, and then to be able to firmly stand for truth in the wake of this change in values. Today here on Family Talk, we'll be taking a look at what's going on in the culture, featuring Gary Bauer and Gary's guest, Dr. Owen Strand. Now, as I mentioned earlier, Dr. Strand has a new role as part of the James Dobson Family Institute family, so let's join them now as Gary Bauer introduces his guest right here on Family Talk.
Hello, everybody. I'm Gary Bauer, the Senior Vice President of Public Policy here at the James Dobson Family Institute. I'm also the host of the Defending Faith, Family, and Freedom podcast here at JDFI, and I'm honored to serve alongside my good friend, Dr. James Dobson. Now, I'm sure you've heard the phrase biblical worldview. It's the framework of our Christian values from which believers look at the world. And we all know that the biblical worldview these days is under a lot of attack. As God has been marginalized in the public square, there has been, as a result, a devastating breakdown in our society. People are losing their way. We see the effects of it in rising crime, violence, abuse, the breakdown of the family, corruption in our institutions, rampant materialism. These trends, if they continue, will lay our country low. It's long overdue time for all of us to fight back. And with that in mind, here at the Dr. James Dobson Family Institute, we've created the new Dobson Culture Center with the prayer that we will be able to equip people to develop a deeper biblical worldview and to strengthen the ability of all of us to fight back against what I think many of us would call a sick culture. Christians need help to navigate these dangerous waters. I'm excited today because our guest is one of our team members, Dr. Owen Strand, who has been named the senior director of the new Dobson Culture Center. Owen has an impressive background that we'll dive into as we get to know him a bit better. He is no stranger to Family Talk. He's been on the show a number of times. In fact, I interviewed Owen, I believe, late last year on his new book, The War on Men. Maybe we can talk about that a little bit more today, because that's actually in many ways a cultural issue. Well, welcome back to the program, Owen. It's great to have you here. Dr. Dobson and his wife Shirley send you his regards.
Thank you so much, Gary. Thank you for having me on. It's great to be talking with you again.
Oh, and we got so much to talk about, but before we do that, I know people are going to be excited about the center. How can people find you? How can they find the center? Where would they go to communicate with you and get your material?
Yeah, I really appreciate that, Gary. If you go to drjamesdobson.org/culture-center, you'll hit the Culture Center right in the middle of our work. Or you can just go to the Dobson website, and there's a little tab there that says Culture Center near the top. If you click on that, you'll find videos, you'll find short articles I've written. You'll be able to sign up for an email report called Lighting Up Culture, that we just started. Again, that's a weekly, basically short article that I'm writing to try to help people get equipped on a key issue confronting the church today. And we're trying to embrace the grace and truth paradigm of Jesus. And so speak truthfully, as we're talking about on these broadcasts, but then also show how those of us who have been saved by grace can affect the world and even bring grace to the world as well as truth. So the Culture Center is just off the ground. It's really exciting to do. We're going to have a lot of new media, social media stuff as well. And I just pray that this can be kind of a fountain of both enlightenment and encouragement from a biblical direction to the church.
Oh, and I have no doubt that's exactly what it's going to be. This is really exciting. So let's get right into it and start talking about some of the issues. Mm-hmm. Owen, you're, as I said, a brand new member of the JDFI team. This is a new chapter in your life. You know, when I'm involved in a legislative battle on behalf of JDFI in Washington, it's pretty easy for me to figure out whether we won or lost. You know, either the good bill passes or the bad piece of legislation fails. Measuring success in the popular culture, I think, is going to be a lot harder, or is a lot harder. And so with that in mind, you know, how, what are your hopes and prayers?
That's a great question, Gary. I want to see a church that I think is often either kind of passive and asleep with regard to cultural issues, or intimidated with regard to cultural issues, or in an anxious state over these matters. And I pray that what we will see is a church that finds its confidence in God and God's word. And that will mean that by the power of the gospel in us, we will take a stand in our days. These are evil days, as you said in the intro very well. I pray that we'll see things like, here's just one tangible example to your question. This past month was, air quotes, Pride Month in America. At least that's what a lot of people say. But in reality, what happened this year, as I'm sure you saw, was there were actually a lot fewer corporations flying that flag, running ads, having campaigns with trans influencers and that sort of thing. There was a marked depreciation of buy-in to Pride Month. But in 2023, there was a lot of pushback on the part of Christians and conservatives to Pride Month. There were excesses and overreaches, even as many unbelievers would see Pride Month, and that had a marked effect. So something like 11 Major League Baseball teams, Gary, did not have a Pride night. And that doesn't signal we took the hill, plant the flag. It does mean that our involvement as salt and light, as Christians, Matthew 5, 13 to 16, I would just say it really does matter. My wife is a Target aficionado, not shooting Target, but the store.
Yes.
I don't know if you ever have experience with these kind of things. And she's given Target a fair portion of my net worth over the years. And she said, last June 2023, I'm not shopping at Target. And she was part of these SUV moms,
right,
who boycotted Target. And it had a major effect. That's what we need to be.
You know, Owen, I obviously noticed the same thing. I was particularly impressed by the fact that our sports teams, who seem to be so finely tuned into the latest winds to blow through the culture, right? This year, were feeling something that made them think, well, maybe we should back off a little bit. It's funny, but it isn't funny. Our adult son, Zach, who is married, has a couple of little boys. He and I went to a Baltimore Orioles baseball game last year, and totally by coincidence, we didn't check, it was Pride Night. And not only did we get the dose of this, you know, between every inning, but unfortunately, a few folks in the audience that night recognized me. I just want to say it was not the most pleasant evening of baseball that my adult son and I had ever spent, but we did laugh about it later. Yeah. And it was so over the top. There were families there with children, you know, and here was this constant messaging. So, you know, hats off to your wife. And look, speaking of your wife, before we go any further, Owen, you know, you're working for the Family Guy, Dr. James Dobson, right? Mm-hmm. Tell us something about your family, your children. And I understand you guys are in the middle of or in the process of a move. Do I recollect mm-hmm. it's to Kentucky, where I grew up?
Exactly right. Thank you for the question. Yeah, I have a wonderful wife. Her name's Bethany. We recently celebrated our 18th anniversary. We have two teenagers, three kids overall. And so we're right in the thick of those teen years. And we're actually really enjoying them because now we can do stuff like take family trips. We're in the middle of a family trip right now to Florida for some speaking on my part. And so it's a great joy to be doing this now as a family. We're not in those little baby years where we couldn't do this together as easily. And my three kids are, wonderful kids, and we're getting to have all sorts of experiences together. So I'm feeling very blessed about that. And yes, it is quite a high bar, by the way, to work for the Dobson Project in general. It makes you sit up straight in your seat. You got to realize you should have known this before, but as a Christian man, you got to step your game up as a husband and father. And so that's been really good for me. And I've learned a lot from Dr. Dobson over the years about how to be a strong husband and father, hopefully strong in God's truth, but also gracious and kind. And so work in progress. But yes, the Lord has blessed me beyond what I deserve.
You can't explain even to your own children what it means to have children and how you have this transformation. Well, quite frankly, we saw it in action at the horrible assassination attempt against President Trump. When in that audience that was there for the rally, a man that was described by his family as a lover of Jesus Christ instinctively threw his own body over his wife and one of his daughters, took a bullet and died. And, you know, it's almost impossible to think without having children that you would have the courage, that any of us would have the courage to do that. But I think he could do nothing less than that.
I think you're exactly right. Fundamentally, when you hear a story like that, you're stirred to the depths of your soul and you pray, as you said, that you would be that kind of man in that moment. Here's the good news. We are weak men in ourselves. We are selfish in ourselves, but God saves us. And then, yes, God gives us biblical truth and the example of Jesus Christ, who laid down his life for his bride, Ephesians 5 says. And so, as I'm raising my son, for example, he's one of those aforementioned teenagers. He's 13 now. You know, when I leave the house, for example, this isn't something so dramatic as this horrific assassination attempt, but, I'll say to him, you're the man of the house, and you at night make sure that the doors are locked and the girls are safe, his mother and his two sisters. Mm. And so that's a little picture. I'm not doing this, you know, in the perfect form or something, but that's a little picture of how we're trying to raise our boys to be men. And when we have an example like Corey Comparatore, this fireman who threw his wife and daughter to the ground in love to shield them from killer bullets coming in and successfully did so, when you have an example like that, you're so stirred and you pray to be a man like that. And Gary, we've had a lot of attacks on strong manhood in our culture. We know that men can use their strength for evil. That's not what I'm calling for, you're calling for, Dr. Dobson's calling for. But we are calling men to be strong in God and stand up against evil and use your God-given strength. Men on average have 50 to 60% more upper body strength than women. Men on average have 2,000 to 3,000% more testosterone than women. That can drive moms pretty crazy. But we need to be thankful that God has given us strength and the opportunity to be strong.
Oh, and I love some of the ideas you've already brought up. You had shared with me some time ago the story about making your son the man of the house when you're going to be away or whatever. What a wonderful idea at a very early age to teach that lesson at the very time that the popular culture is telling boys that it's old-fashioned to think that you're supposed to protect women as if, you know, you are so strong and they are so weak, blah, 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 blah. Can you just elaborate a little bit? What else have you and your wife done to protect those kids from the popular culture? Because no matter what any of us do, we all swim in this, right? We can't be hermits. We can't live in a cave. It's almost an impossibility to shield them from everything out there that is the wrong stuff.
Yeah, the price of liberty is eternal vigilance. That's true in the public square, and it's very much true in the tiny little nooks and crannies of our home. And we have tried to practice that sort of vigilance mindset, not from an anxious perspective, but from a confidence in God, that God is good and God is sovereign and God is in control. And he has entrusted to us these three kids. And so we want to do everything we can to love these kids and to care for them and to steer them in good ways. We're part of this wave that has occurred in American public life in the last 10 years or so, where we are homeschooling our kids, and they're going to be part of what's called a cottage school in our new location in Kentucky. And we're very thankful for that. Christians aren't required, in my judgment, to do one schooling option over the others. So I don't want to get us into the schooling wars or something like that. But I think, Gary, honestly, in 2024, there are a lot of dads and moms out there who have seen that there are major challenges in terms of educating your kids when that's going to be done in certain settings, public school settings, not all of them, but some of them. And so that's one way that we have tried to take them under our wing and really take ownership of schooling. Parents out there have tremendous freedom on these matters, but I'm very thankful to see, as just one cultural trend in America, Christians and churches, and sometimes partnering with like-minded folks who may not be born-again evangelicals, but partnering to form good schooling options, co-ops, classical schools, Christian schools, homeschooling groups, these sorts of things. And we're not doing so fundamentally out of paranoia. We're doing so because we love these kids. They're little image bearers, and we pray that they ultimately become a disciple of Jesus Christ. And so I actually think in a lot of chaos, a lot of families are drawing closer together, and I'm very thankful for that.
Owen, you've been at and have worked on the Family Research Council team, and I believe you're still playing a role there. Some people remember I was at FRC at the very beginning, and Dr. Dobson and I both think back on those years as being one of the great successes of our partnership and helping to launch FRC, and it's grown over the years, continues to prosper under the leadership of our friend Tony Perkins. But have you seen things at FRC or picked up strategies at FRC that you believe will be useful and helpful for you in this new role as heading up Dr. Dobson's Culture Center?
It's been a joy to be a small part of FRC through the Center for Biblical Worldview, as you said, as a senior fellow and part of a small team, but with me, the exception, a powerhouse team. And I think that's the story, Gary, of how I read FRC and your work and Dr. Dobson's work and the work of other coalition partners over the last really half century. I see God giving success to, in many cases, small bands of faithful believers who dared to stand athwart history and say, stop. But not just say, stop, also say, don't just do the bad stuff that you want to do. We're going to stand against that in love for you. We're going to actually love our neighbor in fulfillment of the second greatest commandment, Matthew 22, by not letting you do everything you want to do. But then there's this whole beautiful vision of life and the family and marriage and Christianity unleashed that we want to bring you into. And that's what I see the legacy of the last 50 years leading someone like me to be involved in. And I pray at the Dobson Culture Center, now as senior director, I can be a small part of harvesting what I've seen FRC do, what I've seen some of those key leaders I mentioned do, and now be a voice for that in my generation and toward the generations to come. And so we want to say no to what is evil, but we also very much want to say yes to all that is good, all that is in God, all that is in God's word, all that proceeds from God's grace. And so I'm grateful for the legacy of FRC, the role you've played and others played. Dr. Dobson founded it, and Tony Perkins is leading it faithfully today. And I just pray to be faithful. I don't have anything fancy that I'm hoping to accomplish. I just want to be a faithful Christian in this role that God has given me.
Well, that's rare these days, Owen, and it's one of the reasons that Dr. Dobson wanted you to head up this culture center. You know, maybe we should have dealt with this right at the beginning. What is culture? I think we know, but it's hard to describe. My heart literally went out to Vice President Harris. I mean, she's not, you know, a favorite vice president of mine, obviously, anybody that knows me. But she was at an event last year, and the event had culture in its name. And one of the panelists that were interviewing her said, "Well, Madam Vice President, what is culture to you?" And it was one of those word salad answers. I actually felt bad for her because I'm not sure I would have done a much better job of describing it. But why don't you give us how you would describe culture in the sense that we're talking about it and you're dealing with it at the center?
Culture is really shared values and customs and public life. Culture is what comes out of people being together and putting principles or ideologies into practice. And so it's what is created by real flesh and blood human beings who have given worldviews and then live out those worldviews. And so culture is not one set thing. Culture is not fixed like concrete. It's not set in stone. It is hard to define because it's ever changing. And so we recognize that there has been, for example, culture in the American past in positive ways and culture in negative ways. If you think about, for example, religious liberty, the culture of religious liberty created by the principles of the American founding, someone like me is going to say that's a very positive dimension of American culture. The church has been free to speak and live and advocate for what it holds. That's positive culture. And that goes beyond policies or laws. That's just a general setting where you come to this country, like so many immigrants have done legally, and you recognize in doing so, you're going to benefit tremendously from being free religiously and otherwise. That's positive culture. Negative culture would be something like the culture of death, that we feel that's hard to define in certain ways, but has again proceeded from Roe v. Wade in 1973 and all sorts of secular and feminist advocacy along those lines that then has encouraged Americans to think, not just in policy, but to have a general mood and feeling that it is a really good thing for a woman to have autonomy such that if she wants to kill a baby in her womb, she can. And the culture dimension of that is, again, just that general sense that babies in the womb are not sacred, made by God, but you can do with them as you will. That's negative culture. Christians then come at both forms of these culture. There's things we affirm, religious liberty, love it, all in. There's things we adamantly oppose and seek to create a culture of life over against a culture of death.
Oh, and this has been fantastic. And I've got so many more things I want to talk to you about. Could you come back tomorrow so we could spend another day talking about your vision and what we believe America needs to do in these challenging times?
Well, that's really kind. I'd love to come back, Gary. Thank you for having me.
Fantastic.
Well, what a relevant and insightful conversation today here on Family Talk. I encourage you to join Gary Bauer and Dr. Owen Strand again tomorrow for the second part of this powerful discussion. And if you'd like to learn more about Dr. Owen Strand and the Dobson Culture Center, visit us online at drjamesdobson.org/Family Talk. Of course, the Dr. James Dobson Family Institute is excited to add the Dobson Culture Center in order to help families and individuals live scripturally rooted lives and to engage culture with a biblical worldview. The DCC will also be helping to expose darkness and exalt the light of Christ in the culture. Now, one way you can stay connected with Dr. Owen Strand and the DCC is by signing up for the free Lighting Up Culture Weekly Report. To start your subscription, it's absolutely free. You can click the links at the top of our homepage at drjamesdobson.org or visit the Dobson Culture Center at drjamesdobson.org/culture-center. We here at the JDFI pray that we as believers will all step up to be salt and light in the world. Now, as we conclude today's broadcast, I want to remind you that Family Talk is a completely listener-supported ministry. It's important to us that we hear from you with your comments, questions, and especially your prayers, of course. We also want to help encourage and guide you on your journey to grow closer in your relationship with the Lord. And yet, without your faithful financial support, we would not be able to bring you these daily programs that you enjoy that bring God's Word to the public square each and every day. Especially during these summer months, it is more critical now than ever before. And if you're able to support our ministry financially, please give generously when you go to drjamesdobson.org. That's drjamesdobson.org. Remember, you can also give a gift over the phone at 877-732-6825. That's 877-732-6825. And keep in mind, you can also send your tax-deductible donation through the U.S. mail. Our ministry mailing address is the Dr. James Dobson Family Institute, P.O. Box 39,000, Colorado Springs, Colorado, the zip code 80949. Well, I'm Roger Marsh, thanking you for joining us today. May God continue to richly bless you and your family as you grow deeper in your relationship with Him. And be sure to join us again tomorrow for more on our new Dobson Culture Center. That's coming up right here next time on the next edition of Dr. James Dobson's Family Talk.
This has been a presentation of the Dr. James Dobson Family Institute.